Man, I gotta tell you, when I was growing up, Looking Glass and that song Brandy, there was never a cooler singer than Elliot Lorre. I wanted to be that guy. He had the pipes, didn't he? All right. Check out Beyond Belief, where you can join Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie for dynamic discussions on the paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, all things unexplained. See the world through new eyes. You get new episodes weekly, by the way. Get unlimited access to Beyond Belief and watch anywhere on your computer, iPhone, or iPad. You got no commercials, no sponsors, and you can enjoy everything ad-free. Just go to beyondbelief.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Steve Murillo. That's right, Naval Academy, Marine Corps fighter pilot, TRW systems engineer, and then it all changed. And he's one of the most respected UFO and paranormal researchers right here in Los Angeles, California. And he is live right here in the studio. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. It's a special evening here because our guest tonight is Steve Murillo, one of the great researchers here in Los Angeles, California. And it is Friday night. And the lines are lit up, and we are going to get to the phone calls, and Steve is going to man them with me tonight. And there you go. Now, Steve, right before the break, we were talking about this thing in the desert with Sandra out in Joshua Tree. And anybody that has been to Joshua Tree has experienced some strange stuff out there. And for you had been waiting all night, right? Nothing happening. And then, boom, what happens?
Right. So Sandra Marsh and the 20 people or so that are there on the hill, we're all standing around. You know, we've got our lawn chairs out. We're freezing. And she keeps saying, "They're right there, right there." You know, they're right there. And she's pointing to a dark part of the sky. You know, it's pitch black and, you know, and stars and all that. And I'm thinking, this lady's crazy. You know what I mean? Can she really do this? I'd never seen her do it. She keeps pointing to the same spot and saying, "They're right there. They're looking at us. They're watching us." Fine. So roundabout, you know, everybody, people are starting to give up because it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and people are going to bed slowly, leaving the hill. But a few of us are sticking around, and then the sky. I'm just standing straight. You know, we're just standing, looking up at the sky. My neck's getting all, you know, getting a crick in my neck from looking up at the sky. The guy next to me goes, "Ooh, it just flashed me." I go, "What?" So I turn around, and he's got one of those little LED light things, you know, off his keychain. He goes, "It just flashed me." I go, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Watch this." And he goes, blink, and he gives it one, and this thing that's up in the sky looks like a star, on, off, right? And I go, "Whoa." I'm thinking to myself, "Whoa." I go, "Give it two." So he gives it two, and the thing goes, one, two. And I'm like, "Oh, oh, now we got something, right?" I go, "Do three." He does three, and it does three. And now by this time, I'm getting a little bit loud, and the other guy's getting loud, and we've got everybody's attention. Everybody's turning around. We're looking at this thing, and everybody's getting excited. So as everybody's looking up at this thing, it all of a sudden just gets exceptionally bright, and as if it's getting bigger, as if it's coming down. Just the object is getting bigger, and everybody starts screaming and jumping up and down and hooping and hollering because we hadn't seen anything all night anyway. We're excited, and it's 3 in the morning. There was a little Boy Scout camp over there, and we're like, "Shh, shh, shh, don't wake them up, don't wake them up," you know. Anyway, so this thing, as soon as we got too loud, the thing seemed to like kind of monitor that and just went right back down to a little pinpoint light, like a star again. I'm like, now we're staring at this thing, and it appeared exactly where she had been pointing all night. So now I'm looking at this thing thinking, okay, what could that be? It could be a helicopter, could be something like, right? This thing all of a sudden moves across the sky, I don't know, what, 90-degree arc, and joins up to two other, what I thought were stars the whole night, sitting there, and they form a perfect equilateral triangle. And I'm looking at this going, holy smokes. Then that equilateral triangle rotates about its middle axis, so they do this little twisty thing, and as they're doing that, they kind of get smaller and smaller and smaller and fade basically to nothing, fade to black. And you know, that was spectacular. That blew my mind. I mean, we were just, you know, jumping up and down.
When you first told me the story, I had asked you What is the best example that you can give me right now that you have seen? And that's the story that you told me. What do you think, because it meant a lot to you, what do you think that you ultimately saw? Do you think it was us or do you think it was them?
No, I don't think it was us. You know, whatever this thing was, whatever these things were, you always get this feeling that they're communicating somehow with you. This is a common feeling in sightings where the observer has this feeling that they've been communicated to, or that there's this link, or they're being observed,
right,
in some way.
And as you know, this is something that is talked about a lot. This is what you do,
right?
And I have heard these stories a lot, and I try to stay objective until it happened to me. Right now, I understand. But for the listener out there that doesn't quite get the experience that you and I and others have referred to, they're not going to understand.
Right.
Because this seems to be on demand and for you, and it's a personal thing.
Right.
Most people can't wrap their head around that. Why do you think this phenomena is happening like it is? It's happened for you. It is now commonplace. I've witnessed it. What is going on?
Good question. What is going on? Is it some sort of kind of a drip campaign into our consciousness that, you know, there's a sort of hands off, you know, you don't want to touch the civilization. You don't want to interfere in any way, but yet you want to poke them every now and then, poke the consciousness and say, hey, look, there's something more than you to this universe. Wake up. Maybe that's what's going on. It's hard to say. There are a lot of different phenomena that are going on this planet.
Well,
that's one of them.
Well, they poke the believers, though. Why don't they go and poke the White House?
Good question. Maybe that's not worth poking.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe that's not who you're trying to address. And I've seen a lot of non-believers, skeptics, you know, agnostics become believers. Invariably, the common phrase I hear from all of these different people who have had an authentic sighting is, I don't care what you tell me, I know what I saw.
Why is that? Because before you had your sighting in Manhattan Beach, you weren't paying any attention to the UFO community.
Right.
You know, there's books out, there's things on TV, there's UFO specials, there's things out there. But you weren't paying attention either. And that's, you know, that's a large part of the world looks at it this way.
Right.
But you became a believer. You
right.
went from objective, didn't care, to, you know, one of the leading researchers in this industry.
Right. And I think that, you know, for those who don't believe, you could tell them about this and they'll go, oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. You know, and then, you know, as they turn, they're thinking, that guy's a nut. Right. Because that's the trained response. Oh, and that's actually a natural response to be skeptical. I think that's healthy, right? But once you had the experience, I literally think it cracks a veil of consciousness. It kind of like it puts a crack in that consciousness where now all of a sudden your mind is open to. I mean, if it's an authentic sighting, I think there are things that are happening when that occurs that happen on multiple levels, on subconscious levels, things are happening. I told you that story a long time ago about the guy who was at a New Year's Eve party in Scotland, and he was a commercial. He produced commercials for a living. He was a well-paid guy. He was successful. He was top of his game. And he was at a New Year's Eve party in Scotland, and he was hammered drunk. And he wanders out to the back patio of this castle where they were having the party. He's by himself, and this black triangle shows up and starts, you know, communicating with him, so to speak, or makes a direct link to his head, so much so that he's sober in seconds. His wife comes out, and they had been partying together, and she's still drunk, and he's trying to explain what he just saw, what just happened, and the thing went off. It was so impactful for him that he dropped everything he was doing there in the UK, came to the United States with the intention of creating a documentary to prove to the world that UFOs are real. And I was one of his interviewees. I mean, he wanted to talk to me. He wanted to talk to everybody. So, I kind of led him on the path to go talk to this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. But, you know, the problem with that is this. It's sort of like religion. Unless you've had the experience of it, it's just something interesting to you, but you're not a true believer. unfortunately. You can conceptualize it, intellectualize it, understand it, and say, yes, that's possible in your head when you hear about something like that. But until you've had the experience of it, you can't quite get there, I think.
Yeah, it's the same thing, I think, not only for me, but for a lot of people, where I've had sightings that were arbitrary over the years. You know, it just happens. But when you go out and you're with a group of people, in your case, 30, in my case, you know, 100 or 200 with Melinda Leslie, you know,
right,
contact in the desert. And that happens on demand. That was a show.
That's a show.
That's extraordinary.
Isn't it?
And there is something going on here. I just wish that it wasn't for believers. We need to have the media there, maybe a politician or two, somebody from law enforcement,
right,
somebody else there to confirm this, because other than that, it's just you and I and a bunch of UFO nuts together seeing this, and who would believe us?
Right, true that. I mean, I think I think you can repeat the experiment if you have what I have come to know these people as strange attractors, like Sandra Marsh, like Melinda Leslie.
Right.
You need that catalyst, that person that somehow, because I've noticed over these hundreds of cases that certain people attract the phenomenon. And without those types, I've gone to Joshua Tree by myself, and I've gotten skunked, I think, 3 or 4 times with my wife. You know, we just go out there with the camper and the dogs, and we'd stand out there all night freezing, and nothing happens.
Well, and then there was the experience that we had together 2 or 3 years ago, Joshua Tree.
At Contact.
At Contact out in our patio.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably 10, 12 of us. And boom, it just happened right out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
This light takes off into the stars right in front of us.
Right. So among us, maybe there was one of these types of people. Or maybe that was us.
Well, and if you remember, I want the audience to understand what I'm saying here. We were standing together and somebody said, wouldn't it be crazy if something happened right now?
Right.
And at that very instant, this white ball about a quarter mile away out in the black desert, right out in front of us, takes off out of the desert floor and flies into the stars. It lasted for what, a second?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 seconds?
If that, yeah.
So it was flying thousands of miles an hour, but it did it on demand.
Right.
It was way beyond coincidence.
We got a confirmation.
Yeah,
right?
Just absolutely incredible. I just don't know why it's happening.
Well, so now here's the thing. I think that if you have a sincerity in your heart about this and you actually want to have a sighting, I think you can actually put out that thought form, let's call it.
Right.
You know, thoughts and energy wave, right? I think you can. They pick these things up like we pick up radio waves. Okay, so you put that thought form out there. Be sincere about it. You know, with good intent and all that. And I think that actually kind of loads the dice in your favor. And,
right,
you can have an experience.
Well, you know, it's Friday night. Let's take some calls. I want to go to, I'm going to go out to the West Coast here. Let's go to Paul in West LA. You're up next, or you're up first on Coast to Coast, Paul. What's up?
Hey there. How are you doing?
Doing good, Paul.
Excellent. Well, when I heard you guys talking a little while ago about a sighting in Malibu, it suddenly jogged my memory about something that was pretty dramatic that happened to my parents. And this is a story I've never told, certainly not on the air before. And it involves some rather well-known people in the film industry. For one, my mother, who passed away a few years ago, was the actress Eleanor Parker, 3-time Best Actress Oscar nominee.
Right.
Known for playing the Baroness in the movie The Sound of Music.
That's right.
And she was with my father, who was a prominent portrait painter, had painted portraits of Sinatra and Katharine Hepburn, Audrey Hepburn, Nancy Reagan, you name it. Anyway, they were at the home of Jim Backus. I know Jim Backus was there.
Thurston Howell, Jim Backus.
That's it, Gilligan's Island, Thurston Howell III, and also Mr. Magoo, well known for those
That's
roles.
Right.
And he was there with his wife, and William Holden was also there with his wife, Artis. I think it was Jim Backus's house, but definitely was in Malibu, and it was at sunset, and the three couples were dining on the patio, and in from the ocean comes this huge silver disc, or my mother described it as actually kind of more like pewter in a way, but it did have some degree of reflectivity in that the light of the sunset was definitely reflecting off it to some degree. And it was huge, classic saucer, and it came gliding in off the ocean and was right above them and came to a standstill, and it just hovered silently, just no sound at all. They were flabbergasted, staring up at this thing, and then after some, you know, I don't exactly know how long it was, but 30 seconds, whatever, it then, or a minute, it started to move off again over in the direction of the hills above Malibu, and then suddenly whoosh, it just took off, you know, into the sky, and in seconds it was a little dot and disappeared. And they were just, you know, floored. None of them had ever seen anything like that before. They called the sheriff's office, the local sheriff's office, and reported it immediately. Apparently, a whole bunch of other people in the Malibu colony had seen it as well. This was in the 1950s. I don't have a date for you. But what I found really fascinating is that my father never mentioned this to me. He always came off as a complete skeptic on the subject of UFOs, and it wasn't until sometime after he had passed away that my mother happened to tell me this story. And my mother would have no reason in the world to lie about something like that. She was not a confabulator or storyteller in that kind of way. And, you know, it made me wonder, why on earth did my father never mention that to me? I would love to have confronted him with that. All I can imagine is maybe he was so scared, really, that he just chose to just disregard it somehow and pretend it never happened. I don't know, because he never mentioned it.
I'll tell you what's funny about that story, Paul, mm-hmm. is yep. William Holden has it's just like the third time or third different incident that I've heard William Holden's name brought up. The story, the sighting with with Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan, they yeah. were on their way to William Holden's birthday party at Lucille Ball's place that she was throwing for him. And when they arrived there, they told everybody about their sighting over by Point Doom in Malibu.
Well, I got to mention, it was actually Bill Holden that introduced my mother to my father. He was the best man at my parents' wedding, and the guests at the wedding included Ronnie and Nancy Reagan.
See, I always knew Bill Holden was an alien. I knew it. I knew it. Hey, Paul, thank you. Paul, I want you to hang on, Paul. I want to get your information, so I'm going to put you on hold. And I want to get your information and contact you later, okay?
You got it.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. And Donna, you know what to do. Isn't that interesting, though? Again, it's so similar to other sightings that you have heard about,
sure.
Steve, and myself over the years. It's incredible. You and I were just out. I don't want to give away too much, but we were just out on a boat last month. And that's all you and I wanted to do was see something, didn't we?
Right.
I was constantly looking. Saw a lot of dolphins. We don't have
a
any
lot of seagulls.
We don't have anything to report there. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Steve Murillo, live in the studio. It's Friday night. Open lines, taking your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm here filling in for George while he's out partying in Las Vegas at the iHeart Music Festival. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Finally, there is a dating and friendship site to meet others with my interest. And if I wasn't married to the most beautiful woman in the world, I would be over at ParanormalDate.com. I'm telling you what, you can find your match. You can find your match that shares that interest in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and the big one, conspiracy theories. Paranormal Date now has almost 50,000 members. It's completely free to check out. You can go there right now. Use the promo code SUMMER for 40% discount. Paranormal Date is also available free on iOS and Android apps. Also, check out that companion site, conspiracydate.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George tonight. Our guest live in the studio, Mr. Steve Murillo. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, a very special night for everybody. We have Steve Murillo live in the studio. The studio is Doc. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Any questions or comments? I keep Twitter live to my left here in the studio because the studio is so Doc that it's bright in my face and I won't miss anything. And if it's good, I'll read it on the air. I've already read 3, 4, 5 questions tonight. So there you go, at J Church Radio. Simple enough. And Steve, I, before I jump back into phone calls, what is the deal with Topanga Canyon? You know, we have here in Southern California, we have all of these hot spots. And Topanga Canyon, not only video and photographs and eyewitnesses over the years, but I just got a couple of tweets that came in, a couple of emails. You can't forget about Topanga Canyon, and they're absolutely right. It's right there, and some of the most incredible sightings have been in that canyon, which bleeds out into Malibu Beach.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, they come floating up from the beach and go right up that canyon. And, I mean, Preston Dennett will tell you all night long, right?
Right. David Sarita.
Yep, Sarita. You know, I remember there were some hikers that that videoed. They were on a hike at night in Topanga Canyon, videoed, like, I think it was 3 or 4 lights, you know, globule things floating through Topanga Canyon and, you know, made the report to MUFON. We followed up on that. I mean, yeah, it's just sort of like a funnel for these things. You just I had a buddy who was living in Topanga Canyon, and he had a solid object float over his head. It was triangular.
Yeah, I saw some photographs about 15 years old of some pretty large lit up Steven Spielberg like craft right there in Topanga Canyon. And I really don't understand why there's the American Indian aspect. There's a lot of that there. There's a lot of tradition. There's things that have American Indian wise in the Malibu area up in the hills carved in the rocks. There's that aspect. And then you have the Malibu underwater base that is right there between Point Doom and Wainaimea.
Yep. Yep. So what do you think? I mean, Sedona, you know, another place where these things seem to be attracted and another place where people feel like they're vortices. I mean, let's take American Indian lore. There are certain places around the United States that the American Indians hold sacred. Right.
Like Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree is one of them.
Well, and while we're right there, I'm going to cut you off because I have on the phone right here, Victoria from Contact in the Desert out there in Joshua Tree right now. What's going on, Victoria? How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi, Jimmy and Steve. What a great show you're putting on tonight. Okay, so I don't mean to budge in here on you both, but I have to share this. So last Saturday, I'm doing the Bakke Fest, right? I'm working it. And I finally got off of work at about 2 a.m. And I was too wound up to go to sleep. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to pull out my night vision goggles and sit there and just watch the stars. Okay. So I sit out there. I must have not been out there more than 5 minutes. And it's funny because you had mentioned, you'd both mentioned that you saw things at about 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
2 and 3.
Right.
Well, it was exactly 2 when I sat down, so it must have been around 2:15, 2:30. So I'm looking up at the sky. I must have been up there for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. And all of a sudden, I see a ship. Now, I have to turn my neck so quickly across the sky because I've got the night vision goggles, but in order to keep up with it, it was moving at such a high speed that I was going across. But I have to tell you something. These were not the usual ones that I always see. These were, well, first I saw the one, right? But it was a disc, and it was almost transparent.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. Never seen them like that before. I've always seen it where you can see like a bright star-like thing, and it moves and does this and zigzags and does all that number. But this time, it was a transparent disc. Now, so I sat there for another 10, 15 minutes, and I'm literally seeing one go by, then two at a time, and then another. And I texted my friend, Rita. I go, look, you've got to come down here right now. Get back here. She's in her car. She's driving home. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. And she turns around. She comes back over to me because I can't believe what I'm seeing.
You needed somebody there to witness what you're... What is it, Victoria, what is it that makes Joshua Tree so special? Two things that I need to present here for the audience. One, 20 miles away, one of the biggest Marine Corps training bases in the country is right there, 29 Palms.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's a connection because that's relatively new. The sightings have been going back here through myth and legend and tradition with the Indians there for what, you know, 1,000 years?
Thousands of years, absolutely. Well, okay, I feel you're right on that. I do feel that they're watching over that because it is the largest marine base, and it's getting bigger. I don't know if you know that, but it is going to be the largest in the world, and they're expanding it now. And I think that is definitely one reason, but I have noticed, because I do this every Wednesday night, I sit around with everybody with my night vision goggles, and this one's got this one and that, and we watch them. And I'm going to tell you, the majority of them are coming out of Pleiades. So I don't understand that. I don't know why that area, it's like a vortex there.
Hmm.
And you know, right there in Joshua Tree, we're right under the Milky Way as well. You know that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's the positioning of itself on the globe. And one of these days I'm going to sit down and I'm going to map it out and really, like, you know how like some people take it and then they compare it to, say, the pyramids in Egypt and this place and that. I mean, our property is sitting on an aquifer of water. So we know that the electromagnetic field is crazy there. Because I don't know if you ever tried to GPS it. It's a hit and miss. I've tried Google. I've called MapQuest, all these people, letting them know that there's this faulty thing. Why can't we do it? And so for some reason, when you go to the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, you can't GPS it. It's a hit and miss. It takes you there, but then you continue going. It never tells you you're there.
Plus, this is the thing, Victoria. You guys have, what, 400 acres, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's a large property, and so there's nothing there to disturb the light going up to the sky. You can see everything crystal clear.
Exactly.
Well, one thing is for sure, Victoria, if they came down and landed on that property, would you take a trip? If they said, you know, you want to come with us, would you go?
You're asking the wrong person, because I already told my husband, you know what? I'm thinking about going to the Mars.
Well, see, there you go, Victoria. If you show up missing at Contact in the Desert,
you know where I went.
I know what to tell Chuck. Listen, you have a great evening, Victoria. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You guys have a good night, and I'll see you at next Contact.
Yeah, we're going to see you in
Victoria.
A couple of months.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Right on. Victoria from Contact in the Desert. And, like, she, you know, there you go. Last Saturday, she's out there watching stuff in Joshua Tree. I don't understand it. It's an amazing thing to witness, though.
Right. A lot of action going on in Henderson right now, Henderson, Nevada. They've had sightings over the last 5 days over there.
Yeah, I've seen the reports come in. And, you know, you have Area 51 right there.
Right.
You have wide open desert. You have things that are happening there every day.
People see a lot of stuff coming from Vegas back home to L.A. at night.
I'm going to head out to the East Coast right now. Let's go to Dave in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Dave, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy and Steve. I'm real happy with the show, and I have something to share. First, my background, I'm in the military, and I'm out now, but I was in missiles, defense, and intelligence, so I know what fast-moving craft are like, and my son and I were in front of the house in the driveway smoking a cigarette about 1:30 in the morning. This is a couple years ago. And all of a sudden, the ground lit up like it was daylight. We looked up. There was a low haze in the sky, almost a mist of rain coming down. But if you've ever seen the show Stargate, that's what we saw. Through that gate came three craft. The first craft was a bloated cigar. Second craft was an elongated triangle. And the third craft, and I swear to God, I swear on my grandma and grandfather's grave, looked like the Starship Enterprise, except instead of a round dome, it was more teardrop shape with the thin part of the tier in the back. It had a left rear and a right rear thruster. And after that third one came through, it, poof, gone.
What year was this, Dave?
2013.
Recent.
Yeah. How big was, Steve, I didn't mean to cut you off,
no,
but
that's right.
How big was this Stargate if this these craft were coming in and out of it? How, what, 100, 200 feet across?
I can't answer that with any accuracy, and I know distance, I know craft, I know speed. I mean, I've stared at radar scopes and observed aircraft doing crazy things. I was in the control both the first echelon and the second backup command post in South Korea, and I was very high up in the ladder. But it's hard to say because it was maybe 5 seconds of viewing, but these craft come through one, two, three. I don't know if any of them came through before that because it took a second or two to look up after that bright flash, and it lit everything up like it was daylight.
Wow, that's incredible, yeah. Dave. Steve.
It looked exactly like that Stargate on TV where it's like almost like mercury.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I totally get it.
Crystal clear lights. It was the next day I had mentioned something to a couple people that I know and were standing around at a gas station. I said, "You see anything strange in the sky?" One gal, a black gal who was in south of me across the Mississippi in Minnesota, and she said, "I don't know what it was." The cover story, this thing created a sonic boom. The cover story was a meteorite caused it, and they showed a little pebble on the news that this came from the meteorite. The gal said what she saw was sparks flying everywhere, lightning bolts, and she said it was not a meteorite. I don't know what the hell it was. Maybe a satellite blew up. But she was looking at the backside of what my son and I were looking at.
That's incredible. Dave, thank you for the phone call. I want to throw this over to Steve for a second. Steve, have you ever had somebody describe a craft similar to the Starship Enterprise? I never have. It's actually, I just saw a picture out of the UK last week that looked very similar for the first time. But have you heard anybody describe anything like that?
No. I mean, what's interesting about his sighting, what I picked up on, was this Stargate thing. Where else have you heard that? Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Skinwalker Ranch. Remember the guys, the NIDS guys, were there staking it out. Big portal opens up, and they described it a lot that way. As it was at night, they could look through it and see daylight sky, and these craft came through.
Yeah.
So very interesting sighting. You know, it's funny. The other thing I picked up on, which always comes up, invariably, I was out for a smoke.
Yes.
I was out for a smoke. So if you're a smoker, odds are you're going to have a sighting sooner or later.
Well, and I hate to say that. But it's the when you least expect it.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. It's when you least expect it.
You're walking the dog. You're out for a smoke. You're hanging out.
Which is the opposite of these events like at Contact in the Desert. I know we keep going back to Joshua Tree, but this is a nightly occurrence out there.
Right.
And it just seems to be on demand. You know, you just go out there with your positive vibes, look to the sky, and you're going to see a planet move, you know, something crazy.
And stop, and then go back the other way.
Let's go. We're going to go East Coast, West Coast. Let's go to Sarah in Wellington, Ohio. Sarah, you're up next on Coast. Sarah?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know I was on.
Yeah, okay. You are live right now. Say hi to Steve.
Thank you. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sarah. How you doing?
Good. I live in the country. I live in Ohio. It's really rural where I live. So my son had asked me, he'd been bugging me about the meteor shower last year. He goes, "Can I stay up really late and watch the meteor shower?" So I said, I'm not much of a sky watcher, but I was like, okay, let's go out there. So we set up some chairs in the middle of the yard, and we were watching. We saw a bunch of really cool meteors, and they were kind of like sparse. So we're just sitting there watching the sky, and then we see this object, and it's completely black. It was like a round shape, completely jet black, but we see it moving, and it wasn't moving fast. It was moving really slow. And he goes, "What is that?" And I said, I don't know. And then we saw what looked like a beam hit the ground, like a car light. But it actually hit the ground. And I was like, "Oh, my God, I don't know what that is." And he said, "Is that a UFO?" I said, "I don't know." We sat out there for probably another hour, and then we saw it again. And when the light hit the ground, it was probably anywhere from 50 to 100 feet away from where we were sitting.
Oh, so very close. I'm gonna throw this over to Steve because he's the UFO investigator / researcher guy. Steve, what do you think about that?
Okay, so first question, Sarah. Tell me about the blackness. What did you notice that was strange about it?
It was completely round, it looked like. And it was moving really slow, and it was just, the sky's pretty dark. It was completely jet black.
Jet black. What time was it again, the sighting?
It was probably 1 in the morning.
Maybe. 1 in the morning. Pretty, okay, so was there a moon, no moon?
No moon.
Okay.
I don't think there was a moon. But it was, the stars were really bright. We live in the country, there's not streetlights.
Right.
So, it was just beautiful, really bright, and the meteors, we saw a bunch of them, but this was an object that was just completely, it wasn't like shiny looking, it was just
right.
Jet black.
Did you feel like the light was sort of, it was devoid of light, that kind of black?
Yes.
Okay. What about the light? You said it hit the ground. Did you feel, what
like
was unique about
light.
The light? Describe the light again. What color
it
was it?
It looked like if somebody were shining like a beam. Like a, like if you...
Yeah, like a flashlight, but yeah.
Deer spot, you go out there and you're like, "Oh, look, there's deer." It was kind of like that. It was like a round, beam of light.
Cylinder. Mm-hmm.
And it was white.
So white.
It was like a yellowish, but like a slight yellow tinge.
Yellow tinge. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it was really odd, and it actually happened twice. And the first time the light hit the ground, it happened probably 50 to 100 feet approximately from where we were sitting, and then it happened another probably 100 feet away.
Sarah, really quick, what did your son think about this?
He, to this day, is like, "Oh, my God, I've seen a UFO." He tells everybody about it. I said, "Well, it is because we don't know what it was, but I still, I have no idea. I have no explanation. It didn't look like anything I've ever seen before."
Incredible. Anything in the news media the next day? Did anybody else report anything?
Not that I had seen. So, and I don't, I think that there's a lot more going on in the sky than people realize, because like me, I don't go out there and look. There's a lot of people that don't really look.
Incredible experience, Sarah. Thank you so much. And you can, you can report stuff online too as well. This is Fade to Black. Thank you, Sarah. Our guest tonight, Steve Murillo, live in the studio. We'll be right back.